and welcome to the NFL Draft.
This is Seattle Sports presentation of the NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick streaming on the Seattle Sports app.
Come on, man!
It is finally here, everybody, the 2024 NFL Draft, and you're catching every bit of it right here, Seattle Sports on 710. Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, Brock Huard, and Michael Bumpus taking you through round by round. We're going to have every pick in this first round, give you analysis, break it all down, talk about the Seahawks, who, as we sit, are still there at 16. They'll get the festivities underway out there in Detroit with hundreds of thousands, an ocean of people out there. It's just amazing to see how huge this thing has become. Dave and I have been breaking this thing down every way you possibly can. So excited to get you guys in here and get your perspective on some things. And Brock, let's start with you. Seahawks sitting there at 16. If you had to bet right now and say they're picking there,
yeah,
or they're going to move out of that spot, up or down, what?
That's totally dependent, I think, on one thing. And what you guys said last segment, these six quarterbacks. If these six quarterbacks all go before 16, they'll draft at 16. They'll be too good a player to pass, I think.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't, and we see it every single year, we see quarterbacks get overdrafted, we see these guys sit around for a little bit. Once you get through a few of these teams, not every team needs a quarterback, and maybe not every team will be willing to risk draft capital to make that trade up. But I think that will be the biggest thing that we'll be talking about the next few hours as we're evaluating all of these picks. Is, oop, there's a quarterback bump. Oop, there's a quarterback bump. Oop, there's another one. There's a tackle. You know, like, do all six of those guys go? If they do, we got a chance to take number 16.
Well, we got a quarterback and a wide receiver here, and that's what looks like most of the top 10. Like,
and a linebacker.
This is the NFL.
And a linebacker.
Quarterback, wide receiver.
Yeah, totally.
Well, what do you think, Bob? What's your feeling? I don't know where you were at when this process began. We've all been talking about it every day leading up to this moment now. First round just about to get underway. Has your mind changed at all in terms of what you think the Seahawks may do at 16?
No, I think it's exactly what Brock said. What happens in front of you, unless you're pick number 5 or 6 or something like that, you got to wait at 16 and say, all right, how is the cookie going to crumble? The thing that intrigues me the most, pick number 3, New England. Oh, we're good here. No, actually, we'll trade back. And I'm looking at Arizona. Can you get Marvin Harrison, or do you want to trade back and get one of these other receivers? I love the position of Minnesota, Denver, and Las Vegas. They all need quarterbacks. Are they willing to move up? What are they willing to give up? This is going to be interesting. But as of right now, I think they stick at number 16, depending on what happens in front of them, and we'll see.
You know what I love? I love this mass of humanity, and they're making Detroit look nice. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if and when this draft comes here? This draft should be here.
Maybe at some point.
Yeah, maybe today it's a little wet. You know, it's going to be a little rainy sometimes. But can you imagine if this draft were, it'd be the same thing. You'd have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people wanting to watch it as well.
It is amazing how massive this has become, and it grows each and every year. I was telling Dave before, you know, back in the day, I was going to the Radio City Music Hall every year, actually the theater at Madison Square Garden, then the Radio City Music Hall. It was contained. It's in a structure. It's in a building, and now it's out in the open, out in the wild for all these maniacs to be out there. Now, Dave made a very bold prediction, Bump. He thinks Rome Odunze will be the first receiver off the board.
Oh, you know what?
Is he crazy?
I don't think he's crazy, because I've said this for a couple of weeks. I got my co-host here, Stacey Ross. What's up, Stacey? How you doing? She's heard me say this week after week. Rome Odunze is the best receiver in this draft. Now, you look at Marvin Harrison. He's been allowed to show more of what he can do. He's got the pedigree, that last name, Ohio State. I get all that. I ain't mad if you think he's the best receiver in this draft right now. Me personally, I think it's Rome Odunze. If he were to go first, the first receiver off the board, wouldn't surprise me. Well-deserved. But it's probably going to be Marvin, I think. I think it's Marvin.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, somebody asked me, like, why do you think that? I said, well, because I looked at the film and I liked him better.
Right.
But see, that's the analysis we're counting on right here.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I just think you hear whispers from people that know that, you know, that he's the best receiver. And, that, you know, it's not all about what you are now. John was talking about that in the interview, is what are you going to become? Mm-hmm. You know, and after you get you know, a season under your belt? You know, are you going to be a hard worker? Do you love the game? And, you know, where are you going to be 3 years from now? And I feel like that, you know, that's why they do all these, you know, profiling and psychological tests and things like that. You're trying to, and that's why I don't like that about Harrison Jr. I don't like guys that don't go to the combine and don't have a pro day, because I feel like that indicates that you love it and you're always wanting to compete. And really, the combine to me is a really big one, because you're going to compete against the people that you're going to be, you know, drafted with. I mean, let's see, what kind of a competitor are you? Do you up your game? Are you faster? Do you jump higher? Whatever. I think, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I think Odunze probably will climb up.
Does Marvin Harrison competing in the combine change his draft status, do you think?
Yeah, I don't. It's a good question. I mean, I know it would for me if I was doing it. I think it would be, if everything's equal and he didn't go, then I would say, yeah. But I mean, look, you don't, I mean, they call it the Underwear Olympics, so the combine really isn't taken, you know, super seriously, not like it used to. I mean, there was a guy that got drafted named Rick Graff, and it was based solely on his 40 time in Indianapolis, and I was there for the first combine, and I just remember him openly talking about it. He goes, yeah, I wasn't supposed to be drafted till like the seventh round, and now they're telling me I'm going to be like a second round pick. Yeah. And that's what happened. But nobody falls for that anymore. You know, you just look at the film and everything, but it does just kind of stick in the back of my mind that he doesn't love to compete. That always is, that's the sort of sign that it sends me.
How do you view that, Brock? Because I feel like we're used to the upper echelon players not competing at the combine, but they're going to do their pro day. He didn't even do a pro day. So
he didn't even do interviews at the combine.
It's
on my terms.
Is that a red flag? Is that, if you're a GM, are you looking at that the way Dave does?
I was just looking at a picture last night of the guys invited, and this is one of the smallest groups invited. They didn't want guys sticking around into the green room. NFL said, uh-uh. So this is one of the smallest groups that we will see there. And yesterday I found it a little bit telling. I was watching a video. 14 of them were all wearing their Nike Tech issued NFL gear, and one of them wasn't. And it wasn't Marvin. It was Caleb. Caleb's like, no, I'll do what I want to do. You know, I'll talk when I want to talk. I'll interview when I want to interview. Like, I can dictate those same terms. So he didn't work out at the combine. He didn't do anything, you know, for anybody. Like, I'm going to do it my way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's very few that have the leverage that Caleb has, and very few that have the leverage and the last name that Marvin has that are going to go about it that way. You know, will they lose some fans? Sure. Will they lose some benefit of the doubt? Maybe. But for them, they're like, hey, man, I got this leverage. I'm going to use it. You don't have this leverage. I'm sorry. You got to work out.
I love that. I'm okay with that.
I know you do.
I'm okay with that.
You like that Harrison didn't do anything.
No, I respect it. Me personally, I would have done it, but also,
what if you're a GM, though, and you're looking for a receiver?
If I'm a GM, I'm watching a film like Wyman said and goes, all right, either I think he's the best receiver or not. I think that some guys, it benefits to get into the combine and do their thing. Other guys, it's more of a risk than to get out there and maybe run a slower time or not perform the way you want to. I think with Marvin, he goes, look, my dad's in the league. You know the pedigree. Yep. You see the film. It's all done. A guy like me trying to sneak into the league, oh, yeah, put me to the combine. I'm doing everything 4, 5, 6 times. Yep. But it's different for Marvin.
Well, and it's, I don't know. For me, if they're looking at a draft board and they're going, well, man, we got Odunze and Neighbors and all these guys right here, right next to each other, to me, that would be the differentiating moment. Like, Odunze sat out there trying to do that drill because he kept clipping that cone. Sure. And you're watching him as a GM. Here's a guy who's a perfectionist who's just working his tail off. And he wants to put on a show. He wants to show what he can do. And then you got a guy on the complete opposite side of the spectrum going, no, there's my
I would have grabbed Rome. Like, what are you doing? You're done.
Did that raise him, though, in your eyes a bit?
Maybe. Not in my eyes, because I watched the film and I think I know who he is, at least. At some point, it's you're doing more harm than good. If I were Rome's agent or anyone in his circle, I would have told him, all right, that's enough, man. They know who you are. They believe in you.
Yep.
But, you know, it's all different strokes for different folks, man.
They got the celebrities out there, local hero Eminem out there on stage getting the crowd fired up out there in Detroit, where it's just an ocean of people, and they're getting Roger Goodell out there getting the crowd fired up. What do you got there,
Marvin Harrison Jr. is yet to sign a preliminary NFLPA licensing agreement that all other draftees typically sign, which would allow his name and likeness to be monetized after he's picked tonight. So, once again, like,
see, what does that tell you? Is that an attitude? Is that...
You just look at him as being a step ahead when it comes to business.
It's business. It ain't personal.
I don't know. What's Dave, business, what do you think? I'm looking at it old school like, this guy didn't want to work out. He's telling me go look at the film. Now he's not signing this thing that every other draft pick is signing. I'm looking at it like, that's kind of an attitude, man.
Yeah, well, I just remember being a veteran and seeing rookies come in that thought they were hot bleep and just thinking how stupid they were. You know, I just, you don't know until you get in the NFL. And so, and that, you know, that might be something that also keeps you from, you know, fitting in with the team a little bit that you go to. Oh,
perfect for Arizona, special. Right? Go to Arizona then. Go right in and we'll play you twice a year and we'll welcome you rookie to the NFL right good. Here in yeah, Seattle. We'll
so look, there's Dave's favorite quarterback in the league, Jared Goff up there with Hutchinson and a lot of the Detroit Lions up there on stage with Eminem. So they are getting the crowd fired up. I wonder how many people are actually flying in to Detroit, coming in from out of town. These aren't all Detroit locals going to the NFL draft.
If you guys went to your wives or significant other and said, hey, we're going to take a vacation. Let's go to Detroit and watch the draft.
In April.
How would that go over?
Nah, we ain't going. We ain't going. No.
It would be poorly received.
No, but it is such a spectacle, and I heard you guys talking last hour about it. It's hope. Tonight is hope. Mm-hmm. For Seahawks fans, it's hope. For all of these markets, it's hope that we can get Patrick Mahomes, right? That we can get Bobby Wagner, that we can get the guy that is just a program changer for us. And that inevitably, somebody will be, right? Out of this draft class, and it's a real talented one. There's going to be game changers, and then there's going to be those that unfortunately go the other way.
Well, they are going to put the Bears on the clock officially here in a moment as the 2024 NFL Draft set to get underway. We have got you covered wall-to-wall here live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, Brock Heward, Bob Stelton with you. We've got you covered on every aspect of the NFL Draft. Round one underway. The Bears officially on the clock with just over 5 minutes to go. They keep flashing to Caleb Williams there, presumably the first overall pick in this draft. And Bump, during the break, we were talking about these guys. You talked about just, here's a young man coming into the league who's a Gen Z guy. Yeah. He's just got a different vibe. He's got a different way of conducting himself. And, you know, looking at how that may or may not mesh with somebody who is older by NFL standards, maybe a 28-year-old,
right,
something like that. Do you look at that as a positive? Is it a negative? Or is it just, hey, if he can play, everybody will accept whatever it is?
There's one thing that an NFL locker room will accept is you if you can ball. If you can ball, guys are going to ignore whatever differences they have with you. It's just interesting because he is like the first generation of a different type of quarterback that's coming in as far as personality. So I'm just interested to see how it meshes. I think he'll be fine because I feel like he's going to go into the league and have success and work hard and do all the things that got him here. It's just a different story than we're used to hearing when it comes to a personality that's in a locker room and expected to lead a bunch of grown men.
Well, and Dave, you kind of experienced that during your time. I mean, when Bosworth came in, he was not like everybody else. He was a one-man show. He had the stripes shaved in his hair and the mohawk and the Bos personality. How was he received?
Yeah, and then they made him my camp roommate because back when we had roommates, I guess we don't have that anymore. But yeah, he was, nobody liked him. I mean, the offensive linemen didn't like him. All the veterans, they didn't. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't busted a grape in the NFL. And until you do that, it's maybe the hardest of any sport to make that jump from college to pro. I mean, look at, you know, how many of these, and I was going to ask you guys this, what you think, we'll get into it, but how many, if these six quarterbacks get taken in the first round, how many make it? You know, how many are actually going to be, you know, Bob was talking about, what was it, the 2021?
2021.
How all those quarterbacks except for one have been traded away.
Of the first five quarterbacks taken have been traded.
It's amazing. So, you know, that's the thing we forget about with the draft. I mean, there are going to be some duds. There's no question about it. But yeah, it's a hard thing to do. But yeah, anyway, I think, you know, as long as his personality isn't too, you know, you got to kind of fit in as a rookie. Now, quarterback's different. I think you got to come in with, you know, like guns a-blazing. But, you know, for the most part, I feel like, you know, they're pretty well accepted by the veterans.
How you handle adversity, that will define him.
Yeah.
In Chicago, where they've not had a quarterback since Jim McMahon, and even Jim had a defense. How he handles the adversity that's coming, and looks like the Bears pick is in.
Yeah, the pick is officially in, so we'll get the announcement from Roger Goodell.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Nobody saw that coming. First upset of the draft. No, Caleb Williams anticipated to be the first pick pretty much since the end of the season. So what do you think, Brock? Well, we've talked a lot, Dave and I have, about the Bears have never really had the man at quarterback. You go back to Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone to the Super Bowl. They went with Jim McMahon. They went with Rex Grossman. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that guy that it is historically their franchise quarterback they all point to, is he the guy?
Well, he has more talent than anybody that's ever played there, and I don't even hesitate to say that. That's not even a question. Like, when you watch him on the field, and I had three SC games over the last 2 years, had him at Utah, lost in an overtime game, unbelievable, maybe one of my favorite games ever, 45-42. He cried after that game, first loss of the year, unreal. Had him in the Pac-12 championship game where they lost again to Utah. He pulled his hamstring like Mike Salk did in the race today. And then I had him this year against Utah for the third time, and they lost in the regular season. And each time, man, you watch, and I know I'm crazy and got psychosis with my eye test and all that, but the dude's got running back legs, got like Marshawn Lynch's legs, like truly. He could be an NFL running back. He could run 4.4, and he's got that kind of power in his legs. And then he's got a really clean, beautiful release, throw a football 75 yards. And that marriage and that complementing the athleticism with the arm, they've never had. And he's got an athletic arrogance bump that they have never, ever had in Chicago. And I don't think there's any question about the talent. This will be 100% how a Gen Zer, who is different, who is eccentric, how he handles losing, how he handles adversity. Because he did it crying. He did it in the stands, crying with mom. You know, he's an emotional guy. He wears it on his sleeve, and that's fine. But you got to handle adversity in the NFL at that position. And I think it's one of the biggest reasons, that stat that you just said, of those QBs that haven't sustained, because you got to have a durability from the inside out. So Chicago made the right pick talent-wise. There's no question. How he handles adversity, I think, will define his career.
My question is, all right, Chicago Bears have never had a quarterback throw for over 4,000 yards.
And it's 30 touchdowns.
Or 30. Yeah. And it's tough to attach him to that because there's been so many different offensive coordinators and different head coaches. So now what is it about Chicago that doesn't allow a quarterback to flourish? Is it the weather, the conditions? Who knows? So now I'm looking at him and saying, all right, man, you just played in Southern California for a while. You were in Oklahoma for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Things were good. You are the guy. Rumors have been swirling around. You only talk to certain coaches. Like, how are you going to acclimate to the game? Brock, I want to ask you, the only question I have about Caleb Williams is, can he make the on-time throws? Because the way he plays, it reminded me of me back in fifth grade. Best athlete at recess, Brock. And I'm, holding on to the football. Yeah. I can throw that thing late if I want to. That's the way that he plays the game. Like, can that translate to the NFL? I think he's going to be fine, but if there's a question, that's probably the only one.
Well, the other one attached to it in this facility had the offensive coordinator there. I mean, is Shane Waldron the right guy to shape him as well? Yeah. Is Shane Waldron's system that we all watched really closely, Dave, you did the last couple of years, you know, and we heard our guy's answers at the Super Bowl about Shane Waldron and asked what the Bears are getting and everything else. Jackson, it wasn't like the firmest vote of confidence.
Yeah.
How does he fit into Shane Waldron's system too?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Brock. What do you mean he only talks to certain coaches?
He did the same thing that Marvin did.
Yeah. Said that. Yeah.
He did the same thing that Marvin did. Like, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not going there. I'm not doing these pre-draft visits. I'm going to Chicago. I'm the number one pick.
Okay.
Yeah. So he just kind of had that.
I wanted to clear that up because I thought you were talking about like at USC.
I was talking about it at USC.
Yeah.
The rumor was, who knows if it's true or not, but from a few sources that I've spoken to, was that he would only give certain coaches a certain amount of his attention.
Okay.
And, you know, and again, once you get into the draft process, everyone's going to speculate and say this and that about other prospects.
Sure.
But that is what I heard.
We're the grumpy old men, Brock. You see both me and Bob shaking yes. our heads.
Well, that's
what are you
true.
Talking yes. about? I know on. You make fun of us in the morning, but come on.
Come on.
I know.
Yeah, if that's true, how is that spun as a positive on any level? I only speak to these coaches, or I only give so much of my time to these coaches. How spin that into a positive for me. That's not old. That's not being old. That's about, I want a guy who's got the desire to win, is going to do whatever it takes to win. Mm-hmm. I want that guy on my building versus this guy's going to give me just a smidge of his time.
It is about, like, authority and leverage and thinking, like, you're not telling me what to do. Like, I'm the guy. Like, I'm the one that's providing for your job. I'm the one out here playing. I'm the one winning. Like, it's just there is a different, now, that's not all these guys. And in fact, I think Caleb and Marvin are unicorns, right? So I to try to put that label on all these dudes, that's not the way it is. Those guys have the leverage. They have done it. They've won a Heisman Trophy, right? I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy. So he's got a bit of leverage and a bit of background to say, yeah, I'm going to go about doing it the way I want to do it.
Well,
I don't like it, Dave.
I don't like it either. And I think you keep saying adversity, and maybe it's the adversity comes from great success. Look what happened to Russ. I mean, remember when you did your yes. little poll thing in the beginning when they traded Russ, I said he got too big for his britches. Mm-hmm. And this guy has not, like I said,
yep.
busted one grape yep. in the NFL.
Well, the beauty of this league is it will humble you. It has humbled yeah. all of us, mm-hmm. right? This league
yes.
will end you. It has ended all of us.
Yeah,
so this league of grown men and his own team, like you, yes. He's going to be humbled in this league.
Just a heads up, the Commanders have their pick in, and it's expected to be Jaden Daniels. Maybe it's Drake May. We'll find out. We'll talk more about that. But the pick is in, so we'll send it up to the podium here momentarily. But go ahead.
Let me ask you guys a question. There's always been leverage on a football team. There's always been leverage in a locker room. I think this is just the first time we've seen mm-hmm. athletes at an amateur level, air quotes amateur level, exercise that leverage, because
yes.
typically in a football scenario, you're a do what you're said, yeah. do what you're told, head down, work yep. hard. This is the first generation we're seeing saying, no, I'm not doing that. You guys want me,
and
right?
And by the way, this is also the first generation that has gotten paid.
That's
yeah. got millions.
Yeah, they're coming in with money.
Millions. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a great
not
point.
Not just a little bit. Millions in his pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hate the idea of, if that's true, again, you said we were not sure, but the idea, yeah, some of these coaches, I don't need to mess with them. I'll focus
He's
my attention
He's
going to
learn real
here.
Quickly at this big boy level that you need everybody.
I wouldn't yeah. feel good about that if I were a fan of that team and that were true and this is the guy coming into the building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's who he was as a college player, I'm going, oh, come on. But right now we got...
You're still
going
to pick him, though.
Two. Roger Goodell stepping up to the podium right now with the Commander's pick.
With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
There you go, Jaden Daniels. So the first two picks are off the board. You had Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears. Jaden Daniels going second overall to the Washington Commanders. We will talk more about what's going on with the 2024 NFL Draft as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Brock Huer, Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, Bob Stelton with you. Seattle Sports on 710.
The New England Patriots select Drake May. North Carolina.
There you go. The third pick is in, and it's yet another quarterback. So far, the mock drafts have been accurate. Drake May out of North Carolina going to the New England Patriots, who just not that long ago thought Mac Jones was the cure to everything that ailed that franchise. And we'll talk about that. The Arizona Cardinals are now on the clock. This is where it should get interesting because there was some thought that they may trade out of this pick. Most of the mocks had Marvin Harrison Jr. going to them at four. We'll see what goes on there. But Brock, let's start with you. Jaden mm-hmm. Daniels goes number two to yep. the Commanders, and you and I talked before the show, and we talked about potential of these quarterbacks, and you said he's got maybe the lowest floor, but the highest ceiling
yeah.
of all these quarterbacks.
I mean, he's right there with Caleb as far as the ceiling goes. Maybe not quite as high as Caleb, but he's got a big-time boom, and he's got a big-time bust to me, and they just showed the Washington football, well, I guess so the Commanders now, their history, and man, there have been a lot of busts. Here's Drake May. So we're, you know, the biggest storyline going into this for the Seahawks is can all six of these QBs go? Because if all six go, it's going to be real hard for John in that hallway right next to us in that war room to turn down the caliber of player that could be there at 16. So this is where, Bump, you and I felt, and Dave, like, okay, this is where the draft gets a little interesting. 1-2, pretty much set in stone.
Well, Dave predicted all six of these quarterbacks gone before the 16? Seahawks pick.
Yep. Before, well, he's on his way. He's halfway home.
Halfway home, Dave.
Well, let's just keep working.
If all six go, we're going to Vegas.
And, you know, look at articles on ESPN.
I feel like with Jaden Daniels also, you know, some of these guys make plays. They're so athletic.
Yes.
But when you get into the NFL, everything equals out.
Condenses, right?
Yeah. I mean, now all of a sudden, those moves, and Bump and I were talking about during the break, that stuff works in college, you know, and I've used the whole thing about DK Metcalf. Remember, he didn't line up right. His stance was garbage. He rounded off routes, but he was having success. Mm-hmm. So why would he change it? But then you get in the NFL, and I think wide receiver, Bump, might be one of the harder transitions for kids from college coming into the NFL.
The NCAA basketball court to the NBA court's the same court. It's basically same dimensions, the hoops, you know, same. The NFL dimensions with those hash marks are different.
Yeah.
The game is different. The game is, Dave used the analogy this morning, and the Gen Zers didn't understand it. It's in a phone booth.
Yeah.
Right? It's in a phone booth.
That's because they didn't know what a phone booth
was. They don't know what a phone booth
is. I did explain what a phone booth was to the kids out there. I actually negotiated my first contract with Marvin Demoff from a phone booth.
There you go.
That was there in Kirkland.
Do you have a stack of quarters in front of you?
Yeah, exactly right. It's different. I was asking Bump during the break about that whole thing with the landmarks. And then, you know, hey, you say 5 yard out, it better be 5 yards, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, it just, you know, and then so getting back to Daniels, I feel like he's just made so many big plays that those are going to get sort of equalized in the NFL.
Bump, what do you think? Drake May is the one guy I looked at in this group of quarterbacks. And if I were going to pick a guy that I thought might bust out, it would be him. That I don't quite see what everybody else is seeing. I'm not an evaluator. I didn't play at the level you guys did, obviously. So what is your take on this pick for the Commanders going with, or excuse me, for the Patriots going
with
Drake
May? Let me preface this with saying I'm not a hater. I promise I'm not a hater. But it's my job to watch the film and give you my evaluation. And I look at Drake May and I go, this is a potential Mitch Trubisky type situation. You fall in love with his athleticism. Oh, he can run. He can do all of these things.
Big dude.
Look at him throw big 6'5", big guy. Mm-hmm. Look at him when he throws when he's outside the pocket. The same things they say about Michael Penix. I look at Drake May and say, he's not accurate outside the pocket. Yeah. But you fall in love with the size, and this is what us in the media do, right? We get a narrative and then we run with it and we push it and we push it. Now we're here regionally, besides my man Brock here, national. All right, big ups. But you get to the national scene and you buy into it. So look, I hope Drake May has a great career. I think he has a potential to do that. But I look at this quarterback group and I go, he's not the third best quarterback in my opinion. But it's not about what I think. It's about what Robert Kraft and Mayo thinks over there in New England. If they think they have their guy, good for them. I thought there was a chance to actually trade back because they're putting it out there that they're willing to listen. Obviously, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and they're showing Marvin Harrison Jr. in the green room and Malik Nabers in the green room. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals definitely in the market for a wide receiver. We'll see if Dave's other prediction comes true, that Roma Dunze becomes the first wide receiver taken.
Apparently it's really sunny there.
Yeah,
everybody's wearing sunglasses.
I love that. I love glasses indoors.
I like might
that.
Rock the shades if I was in the green room too. I ain't gonna lie.
But the Cardinals pick is in, so as far as we know, it has not been traded. Maybe something happens afterwards, but they have made a pick, and we'll send it out there as soon as Roger Goodell steps up to the podium. But Nabers, Harrison
it's
Jr.
It's going to be Harrison Jr. That organization and the chaos that they are in and the continual flunking of all the grades with them, this is going to be Harrison.
He's the right pick for that.
This is boring. Come on, man. It's going right like it's supposed to go.
I think five is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Right? I think the Chargers need to grab
in this draft. They didn't.
Here comes the commish. Right now, Roger Goodell stepping up
with
the
fourth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
All right, there you go. So far, no mystery. It's following just about every mock draft we've seen to this point, at least mm-hmm. through four picks. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State, headed to the Cardinals to catch passes from Kyler Murray and that crew out there. And, yep. and you said it, Brock, he fits with the dysfunction that's out there.
I mean, to a degree, they need some stability. They've been a mess. They're in lawsuits. Their owner is just getting destroyed, and their public image is awful. And here comes a generational talent. Bump, I'm curious. When we had an Ohio State game, I had one earlier this year, and I'm curious if you agree with this or not. I had a scout. I was talking to a scout, and actually Ryan Day, the coach, was talking about this too. He said, you know what? Marvin is, what was he, 6'3", 6'3 and a half, about 3 inches taller than his dad. But his inseam is the exact same as dad.
Really?
Meaning that even though he's got all this height, he can cut and move and run and change of direction like he's 6 foot tall. Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah, I buy it. I'm 5'11". My son's going to be around 5'10". I watch him walk up the stairs, and I go, yeah, that's my walk. You know, I watch him move in the field. I go, yeah, that's something I would do. Genetics are real. So wherever he got those extra 3 inches from, God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
But he also got a lot of what his dad has as well. I don't think you can ignore that.
Yeah. It's in his torso. It's in his forehead. He is every bit of 6'3". And dad was just Gumby playing with him. I mean, he just moved differently. And you could see why. Even if Rome Odunze, Dave, to your point, like, and I get it, man. If I was making this pick, I think I'd pick Rome. Mm-hmm. I think Rome's Larry Fitzgerald down the road. I think he's going to grow into his body even more, and I think there's a lot of Larry. Marvin, this too also has a boom-bust factor, and going to Arizona will probably play into some of that.
Well, the Los Angeles Chargers are on the clock as we speak. They'll be followed by the Giants and then the Tennessee Titans. So just over 6 minutes to go on the clock as the first four picks have followed suit of most mock drafts out there. We're going to keep you covered on everything that's happening in the 2024 NFL Draft. We got Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, Brock Huard, Bob Stelton with you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We have got you covered on every bit of the 2024 NFL Draft. Brock Huard, Bob Stelton, Michael Bumpus, Dave Wyman with you. The Chargers pick is in. The New York Giants will follow them, and then the Tennessee Titans. But quarterbacks with the first three picks, in case you're just tuning in, Marvin Harrison Jr., the fourth overall pick, headed to the Arizona Cardinals. So what are we thinking with the Chargers? Are you thinking O-line? Are you thinking alt? Seemed to be the first name in
Who's head coach? Who's our new head coach? What's his name?
That'd be Harbaugh.
Yeah. How did he build it at the University of San Diego? How did he build it at David's beloved Stanford? How did he build it at San Francisco? How did he build it at Michigan? He built it all the same way, right there at the line of scrimmage with big, physical, dominant men.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I played against his dad. John Alt. This is Joe Alt.
Oh, I thought you played against Jack Harbaugh, and I was like, you're that? What?
No, Jack Harbaugh was a coordinator at Stanford.
You just watched him punch people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he got in a fight. Did you know that? That's when I knew that whole gene.
That whole Harbaugh thing's a little bit different.
Yeah. John seems quite normal.
Yep. Well, Dave, you are rooting. If you are rooting for what I think you're rooting that this is made. Well, this is not a trade. This is the pick is in. So we know this is not a trade. This is one of those spots that we thought maybe a QB could get traded up into. And instead, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to get his pick of the biggest, baddest, beefiest, bulliest O-lineman he can take right here.
The bulliest.
And who do you think that is?
Thinking Alt.
Alt.
I think the kid out of Alabama is a monster. 350 and powerful, powerful, powerful.
You concerned about his experience? Not too many snaps.
Pretty young, young. And Mims at Georgia, really, really young, and not many starts in that way either. But yeah, I mean, if it kind of plays out and Jim Harbaugh is who we think Jim Harbaugh is and wants to build his team the way he is, this is a big boy.
Do you guys discount if you look at the number of games they played in college? Because wasn't that the case with the quarterback last year, Richardson?
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, yeah, he had like 13 games that he played in college.
Well, I think Roger's stepping up to the podium here, so let's get the Chargers with the fifth overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft.
With the fifth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame.
We've nailed every one of them. We're on fire.
This is so
first
boring.
Five picks. Oh, Joe man. Alt.
Come on.
Absolutely following form. If you've paid any attention to the mock drafts, the experts out there, this is exactly how it's gone. Now, this is where it could change. You got the Giants on the clock. I've seen J.J. McCarthy mock to them, probably the most prominent name, the most often. And Bump, I don't know how much you've been getting, you know, head first in all these mock drafts.
I'm
here,
all
but,
in it.
But I just feel like this is where J.J. McCarthy. When I first started looking at the mock draft, some didn't even have him in the first round. Mm-hmm. Some had him at the bottom. And as weeks went on, no games were being played.
Yeah.
He had, by everybody's account, a decent combine. Penix was the star of the combine as far as the quarterbacks go. He had a good pro day. And now he just seems to be universally considered a top five, top ten at the least pick.
There's something that quarterbacks can do during the draft process, the pre-draft process, that no other position can do, which you can sell them on your leadership. You can make someone buy into that. Look, we can trust you off the field. We know you're going to get in the huddle, command the huddle. You're going to be good in the locker room. You are going to run our stuff. You can be in a Larry Fitzgerald when it comes to the receiver position. They're still going to look at, say, a Marvin Harrison who didn't do anything at the combine or the pro day and say, you know what? The film don't lie with him. At the quarterback position, because it's the most responsible position in sports, in my opinion. That's why I turned down my scholarship to Temple, guys, because I didn't want that responsibility as a quarterback. I go, look, I know me. Put me at the receiver spot. Quarterback is the only spot in football where you can convince somebody that you will lead and not be the most athletic, not be the most accurate or whatever. We're looking at Drake May, but because of all the other intangibles, you can raise your stock. I think that's what J.J. McCarthy did. And because he went to the national championship game, you got to dive in deeper in who he was and try to understand him a bit more.
Dave, you call this boring thus far. You know what I call this? Don't get cute. Don't get cute.
Yeah.
And in talking to a couple people leading up to this week and some of the different decision makers, they kind of felt like it would go this way. Yeah. Like, don't get cute. Don't screw around. Don't try to trade. Don't try to, like, if that dude is there, if 6'8", 340 Joe Alt is there to be your generational left tackle, take him. Marvin Harrison Jr., and you believe in him and all this, take him. Those QBs are there. I think that's why these mockers, who we do like to mock every once in a while, is being wrong.
Bars.
I think, Dave, what we're seeing is don't get cute.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is the mock drafters, you know, the guys that are writing these things up, they're getting more information. It's not anything J.J. McCarthy did. It's just that they're getting more, like, of a sense of the value that the NFL has for a guy like that. But, yeah, I think that guy's maybe one of the more solid picks of this draft so far anyway. I mean, offensive tackle, their longevity, injuries, things like that. I feel like it's a very solid investment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Giants pick is in. So
not sexy.
Not sexy. No, it's absolutely following form to this point. Tennessee Titans will pick after the Giants. And talking about getting cute, maybe this is where it starts. And we'll see if it is J.J. McCarthy here with the Giants. They
see
do
if
have
this is Rome Odunze here. See if it, right? I mean, this is one of those where the owners could also say, we pay Daniel Jones what? He's going to be our quarterback. Go fix Daniel Jones. You guys wanted us to give him all this cash. Now go give Daniel Jones some weapons. This is one of the spots, Dave, that many also said Rome Odunze could end up.
I would love to see it. I that is just a kid. Now, we talk about attitudes, and we talk about work ethic, and we talk about how they present themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z, I get it, Bump. I get a different generation, but Rome Odunze is part of that generation, and he presents himself in a completely different way.
Yeah, you know, he's different. You know, and it's okay to be different. And I think that is the message when it comes to Gen Z. And it's okay to be traditional. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what Rome Odunze is.
Traditional.
He's a guy, traditional. He's going to work hard, head down. He's going to run the L drill five too many times more than he should do it. And teams will gravitate towards that. But again, if you are a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, okay, teams are going to look past a lot of your personality issues because they feel like when it's 3rd and 2, mm-hmm. 3rd and 15, mm-hmm. I can count on that young man to make a play.
Yeah, and they're showing the green room there. Malik Nabers, he's got his sunglasses on and a giant diamond-encrusted medallion that says Leak on it, which everybody should own.
What you wearing if you're a projected top 15 pick? You spicing it up a little bit.
From Costco. Let's see who the Giants are going with here with number 6.
Pick. In the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Leak, he likes to be called. Mm-hmm. He's there in the green room. He's getting hugs, so he is going. You thought could have been Rome Odunze. They did go receiver. A lot of the mocks had J.J. McCarthy going there. How much mm-hmm. of a – is this the first – I'm not going to say shock, but the first
– Not necessarily, no. It's a skill guy, and it's to help Daniel Jones and that offense, and they've had a dearth of talent wide receiver, and there's some OBJ to this guy.
What way?
Just LSU, rare athleticism, unbelievable twitch, power, strength. Like OBJ, before all the injuries, when he came out, was just a springy, yards after catch dude. And they liked him in New York. I mean, he helped him win a lot of games in New York. And this guy out of LSU is not too much different, Bump.
How much difference in skill level do you think there is between Odunze, Neighbors, and Harrison Jr.?
Not
much. Do you have them all right there, or do you think there's a distinction?
If there's any position that is comparable when it comes to the first five to six guys taken, it's the receiver position. You just look at the way that they train these days. Like 7-on-7, it's a necessary evil. I own a facility where we do 7-on-7, and you can do it a couple ways. And if you really break down the fundamentals, the route running, the understanding coverages, that's why we're seeing these receivers get into the league now and put up 1,000-yard seasons their very first year. I think DK's class was the last class where we kind of questioned, all right, are these guys going to be ready to go? Everyone thought DK was going to take 2 to 3 years to get going. Nah, first year on the scene, he's doing his thing. So, yeah, receiver-wise, it's all about what type of receiver you need. You need a big one, a slot guy, a fast guy, a big play guy. I mean, they're all out there for you.
The Tennessee Titans are on the clock with a little under 6 minutes to go. So following form to this point, we've got you covered on everything happening here in the 2024 NFL Draft. We are live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Coming back, Seattle Sports on 710.